So we'll pretty much just cover kind of like a wide range of stuff, like current events that are going on, your background, college, mm-hmm. pro career,
all right.
What you're doing now with training, everything too, like that. Kind of touch on a few things and, you know, have some fun with it.
Sounds good to me. Let's do it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So first thing I want to talk about is kind of like just the current state of, you know, America right now, and really the world is with COVID going on and everything, with obviously with football seasons getting canceled, right. and everything like that. So what are some of your thoughts on that, and kind of what some things that some advice for athletes right now?
Yeah, man, 2020 has been a whirlwind, man, with this COVID thing. You know, first and foremost, man, you know, safety is most important. You know, people have families out here, you know, they have fathers, mothers, grandmothers, whoever it may be. So safety is always first. But, you know, for the athletes now, especially the ones that, you know, maybe just got drafted, you know, speaking on the NFL aspect of it, you know, it's different for them because they don't have that time to, mm-hmm. you know, get to know the offense or, you know, have that film, you know, to put out there what they can do, you know. So it's hard, you know, but I would tell those athletes right now, man, hey, you know, it's a different situation, but it's adversity. You know, you've been through this exactly. your whole life, having to adapt to the situations, you know, and it's a scary thing, man, you know, because at the end of the day, man, it's a real situation. It's a lot of families being, you know, being torn apart by this virus, you know. So, you know, as a player, you know, whatever, if you're on the NFL level or the college level or, you know, the Pop Warner level, you know, they want to play football. This is what we dream about doing, you know, each and every day. You know, we want to get to that ultimate level, you know, get to the NFL, you know. So I would just tell them, man, just stay focused, stay the course, try to be as safe as possible and make the best decision for you and your family, you know. So if that's planned, go ahead and do it. You know, I can't tell another man or, you know, another family to what to do in a certain situation, you know, but I can speak for myself, you know. If I was still playing, you know, I would definitely have to take into account that, you know, I have a family, I have four daughters, I have a wife, so I have to be here for them in the long haul. So I had to, it'd be a heavy option away, but, you know, again, you know, it's football, you know, we love it. It's America's greatest game out there, you know. So I would just tell them, man, just stay focused, stay the course, and, you know, just pray about it, and whatever decision you make, just be safe as you can.
Exactly. I think that's definitely some, you know, some awesome advice, and
yeah,
I completely agree with it for sure.
Yeah, and like I said, man, this is something that, you know, they dream about doing. Like, football is football, you know, like I said, the greatest sport on earth, you know. I know a lot of people can attest to that, you know. So in saying that, you know, they want to go out there, they want to compete, this is what we all dream about doing. But then again, you have to make sure that, you know, look at the bigger picture, you know, and that's self-safety and safety of your family.
Exactly. And something I love to see that, you know, you're starting to help. You've been training a lot of guys now.
Yeah.
So I love to see that, you know, you're helping out with mm-hmm. kind of helping them with their dream now. And what kind of made you want to start, you know, your
own dream and everything? That's kind of funny because I wasn't even thinking about doing anything, you know, like this at all, you know. So I was just in the process after I retired, you know, I was like, you know what's next? And I started to, you know, still work out and try to keep myself in good shape, keep myself mm-hmm. feeling good about myself, you know. So I started hashtagging McClusterFit, you know, every time I would do a workout. And, you know, people were reaching out to me in my DMs like, hey, man, are you a trainer now? Do you train? Can I get a one-on-one session? And at first I was like, no, I don't train. You know, I'm just, you know, keeping myself in shape, right? So maybe two more weeks went by and everybody kept asking the same question. So I said, you know what? It's something I might want to tap into because it's my passion. You know, I've always been that guy on the field to be that leader, to be that spark, to make people believe in themselves, even if they don't even believe in themselves, you know. So started doing that and started studying for it and got certified to be a certified trainer. And, you know, from there, from January to now, man, business is really booming. It's going pretty good, man. And I'm enjoying it because I'm able to put in that same energy that I've been doing, you know, my whole career, my whole life in football, but still be connected in a way in doing that. But take it a step further, you know, off the football field and, you know, just helping the everyday person just, you know, feel good about themselves and stay in shape and be healthy. So McClusterFit is my brand now, man. I'm going all the way with it.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
Love to see it.
And do you feel like you noticed, whether it's been as a player or as a trainer, that, you know, athletes really underappreciate the training aspect, whether it's the weight room, conditioning, stuff like that? Do you feel like there's underappreciation for any of that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it can be, because at the end of the day, you know, we all want to just go out there in front of the fans and go out there in front of the cameras and turn it on and turn it off if we want to. But, you know, training and preparing is just as important as going out there and playing the game. You know, you can't go out there and not know what you're doing, because if you don't know what you're doing, you'll be sitting right here where I am on the sideline, on the bench, right? So what I try to teach my athletes, so I do train, you know, of course, I teach them the football aspect, the game aspect, but I teach them a lot about life, man. Just a lot of the things and experiences that I've been through. I want to give them the raw, the uncut, you know, the real deal world. So when they are faced with that, any type of adversity, they have somewhat of an answer, or it's not just something that's popping up on them new. So I want to go to school, do your work, hold yourself accountable, hold your teammate accountable, stuff like that, you know, on and off the field. So football will take care of itself, but you have to take care of the off the field stuff. You know, just being a stand-up guy, your character will take you a long way. And, you know, I preach to them, hey, I didn't get to where I got to, you know, just by raw talent. You know, I had to go out there and had to do that extra studying, you know, being that guy that is going to show up and lead by example. And, you know, just doing, trying to do the best you can do and do the things the right way, and it'll carry you a long way. And I think that's where I am in life right now. You know, I try to do things and model myself, you know, behind action speaks louder than words, you know, so I can't just tell them, hey, this is what it is, and here I am over here doing something different, you know. So again, it goes back to teaching them about life skills, man, because, you know, things are not going to go as planned all the time, but how do you respond? That's what I teach my guys. Yeah,
that's true. That's, you know, it's about the total package. I love that. I love
yeah, you have to, man. You have to. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So now, kind of going back a little bit to your earlier in your life, what was your recruiting process like in high school? I always like to hear different athletes' recruiting stories to kind of, you know, share.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you all know, the storyline with me was always, I'm too small, you know, he's too small to do this and do that, you know. So in high school, I was actually like a 2-star, and it pissed me off, right? You know, but I never said anything about it. I just wanted to go out there and show, hey, this is what you're calling a 2-star. I'm going to make you eat those words, right? So, you know, going into my junior year, I had a breakout year. My senior year, it was amazing, right? So I was getting these schools. They were coming in, like the Floridas, the Florida States, the West Virginias, stuff like that. You know, I wanted to stay home in Florida because I'm from Florida. I want to stay home, be around my family, because that's what I knew, right? And all the Florida schools were like, hey, you know, you're kind of small to be a running back, you know, have you thought about playing cornerback or defense? And I was like, no, you know, I'm better with the ball in my hands, you know. And they were like, well, we're kind of skeptical about that. So if we bring you on, you'll be just a kick returner, or maybe a converted running back to a cornerback. So I turned it down. You know, I was like, you know what? I know within myself who I am and what I can do. And in the process, I'm going to show you better than I can tell you. So Ole Miss came in. I was committed to South Florida because I had my first child was born when I was 17. Coming fresh out of high school, so I was kind of a baby raising a baby, not knowing, you know, what to do. But all I knew was, you know what, I have to buckle down and I have to do what's best for me and, you know, my child, right? So I was committed to South Florida and Tampa. I was staying home, and Coach Ed Orgeron called me, the head coach for LSU, and he was like, hey, Dex, can we just come down to you and talk to you? So I'm like, all right, that's cool. He come down, we talk, whatever. But my mind is made up, which I thought at that time. So he came in the living room, met my family, and he had me so pumped up in the living room to play a game, you know, just talking to me and, you know, me imagining myself on that field. I was like, you know what, Dad, I want to take a visit to Ole Miss, right? So went down to Ole Miss, not knowing what to expect. Got on the flight, first time flying, so I was scared the whole way there. So I get there, met my dad, and I experienced everything, the culture, the tradition, and just everything felt right. So when I got back on that plane, I said, Dad, man, you know I know where I want to go. He was like, where? I said, you know, I'm going to go to Ole Miss. And he was like, hey, if that's what you want, I'm behind you 100%. And it ended up being one of the best decisions of my career, man. And, you know, obviously the rest is history, man. The rest is history.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah,
so that was kind of my recruiting process. I was too small to play offense, and I was too small to play in the SEC. And, you know, I took that and put that chip on my shoulder, and that's what motivated me and fueled me to, you know, to some of my success, most of my success.
Right, right. You believed in yourself.
Oh, yeah, hands down. Nobody can tell me I can't do nothing. If I say I can fly, I'm gonna find a way to fly. You know what I mean? That's my mindset.
So is there any reason besides that you chose Ole Miss? Did you like the campus or the environment, or was it just a pure football decision?
No, it wasn't a pure football thing. It was just, you know, it was a culture shock. You know, being from Florida, being from the city, you know, I'm used to the tall buildings and that fast-paced life. But when I got there, it was like a small but big community there. And everything, it just felt right. I couldn't really tell you what it was, but something just in my gut was like, hey, this is where you need to be. And I followed my gut, man. And you know, my dad always told me, hey, follow that gut feeling, because 9 times out of 10, you know, it's going to be the right decision. So he was behind me the whole step of the way. And a lot of people back home were like, Mississippi, what? Do you know what they used to do back in the day? I said, listen here, man. I'm there to go get my education, get my grades, and get up out of there, you know. And at the end of the day, man, I had a great 4 years there, man. I had no run-ins with anybody, man. It was good for me. It was perfect for me. It was good.
Awesome.
Yes, sir. So I tied it, by the way. Ole Miss, yeah. You see that goat back there? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
So, how much do you think your versatility, being able to play both running back or receiver, helped you at Ole Miss compared to some of your fellow teammates who might only be good at one position?
Right. Well, I'm glad you said that. Just to all the athletes out there, man, the more you can do, the better off you'll be. You know, so I never thought about playing receiver, but again, back to Ed Ogeron, he was like, hey, we have a running back already, but if you come down here, you'll have a chance to compete to be a starter as a freshman, but at receiver. So I was like, hey, yeah, that's me. I don't want to go up there and sit out and do that. I want to get thrown in the fire right now, because that's the type of person I am. And that's, I knew I can, you know, make the cut if I was given the opportunity, right? So me learning the receiver and already having a running back background, and I never really punt return, kick return, but I was actually just I was an athlete, so I could really pretty much play anywhere. And me learning that at Ole Miss and then being able to go to the next level in the NFL and being able to not miss a beat, if they put me at the slot receiver or outside, I can run a route just like a receiver, and I can run the ball just like a running back. So, I mean, it helped me out full circle. And I was not just a running back to where I had to get pounded every time, because, again, I wasn't the biggest guy, and I'm not the biggest guy, right? But, you know, me being able to be interchangeable, doing this, doing that over here and there, I think that's why my career lasted as long as it did. You know, me being able to be interchangeable. So, athletes, again, man, the more you can do, the better off you can be. Don't just limit yourself to one thing, man. Do whatever you can do, and I guarantee it'll help you out in the long run.
Okay, let's see. So, how would you say your senior season went at Ole Miss?
Kaboom. It went crazy, man. So, speaking of that, so my first 2 years was Ed Ogeron, the head coach, and then Houston Nutt came over my last two. And his brother, Danny Nutt, the coolest guy I ever met in my life, man. Cool guy. So he saw me kind of playing more receiver before they got there at Ole Miss. And he saw me running during the spring, I believe. And he was like, hey, Kless, you ever played running back before? I said, man, all my life. And he was like, I'm going to talk to my brother, man. We got to get you in that backfield, hang you off that rock. So, I mean, once he started handing me off that rock, man, I don't think they put me at receiver again. Maybe once or twice every now and then, but yeah, they wanted to hand me that ball and get it in my hands early. So, again, man, just being able to be interchangeable and having that in my background, my senior season went crazy. And I don't know if you guys know, man, but with COVID, it kind of hit. It was supposed to be in May, but I'm getting inducted into the Cotton Bowl Hall of Fame this year. So, it's going to be so it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be dope, man. So, whenever this COVID crap is over with, man, I mean, if y'all want to fly down to Dallas, it's free. Y'all can come on in. It's in the Dallas stadium. If y'all want to come on in and get that exclusive interview.
Good to know.
Can't say no to that.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. So whenever they offer, they said maybe September, October, they'll try to get it done. But it's just an honor just being like, I'm going to be mentioned, you know, forever, you know. So it's going to be kind of dope, man. It's dope. Yeah.
Exactly. Some legacy getting cemented there. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Most definitely. Mm-hmm. It's a long road, man, but this journey was well worth it, man. Well worth it. A lot of ups, a lot of downs, a whole lot of downs, a lot of broken bones, a lot of sacrifices, but hey, I'm still here, man. I'm blessed, got my family, got my health, man. Everybody's okay, and I'm sitting back chilling and still doing what I do.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So transitioning from college to the professionals, how would you say your combine went on overall? And what was exactly going through your head, going through all the drills and stuff like that?
Right. I think my 40 time wasn't too good at the combine, because that natural competitiveness in me when we were running the 40, when you start, if you stumble or slip or don't have the correct start, you can stop. and rerun it. But the competitor in me, when I ran and I was kind of off, I was like, you know what? I got enough speed to dig it and still pull out a good time. So that I wasn't too happy about. But my field work spoke for itself, man. Getting in and out of my cuts, my times were great. So I did get an opportunity to run it again at my pro day, which I was a lot faster, and I felt a lot better about it. But you know, I felt good. You know, I was one of the smallest running backs there at 173, but I bench pressed the 225, I believe, like 20 times. So that was more than some of the linemen that were there that year. So I felt really good about that because they were saying I was too small, but I showed them that, hey, I pack a mighty punch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So overall, man, it was good. The combine, it was a lot of long days, a lot of repetitiveness, a lot of meetings. I was in an MRI machine because, you know, think about it. The teams, if they're going to invest all this money into you, they want to know everything about your body, all the injuries. So I honestly think I was like at the doctor getting x-rays and MRIs for almost 10 hours. And wow. I think they kind of do that to test the mental strongness of somebody, because it was sometimes where I was like, man, you know what? I want to call it quit. I'm tired of being in this MRI machine. But I stayed true to it, man. I got through it, but it was a long process, long tiring process. But you know, it is what it is to make it to that next level. So I just, you know, put my big guy pants on, man, and roll with the punches.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually threw up. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. So you know, I was too small, right? So like, I was like 170 something. That's the most I've ever been in my life. Still, even right now, man, I'm stronger than what I was playing, but I still weigh like 165, man. So like, this is my true deal weight. And so like the day before the weigh-in, I was munching, eating everything, stuffing my body, because I wanted to be heavy, right? To be bigger, right? So I stuffed all night, then got up, stuffed that morning. And before I stepped on the scale, maybe like 5 or 10 minutes before I was supposed to step on the scale, I was in the bathroom throwing up everything I ate, man. So I'm like, no, I'm about to be like 160 something. But I went from 175 to like 173. So I lost like 2 pounds of me throwing up. Yeah. So that, I didn't tell a lot of people that story. So y'all might be second or third person I've told. So
exclusive I threw up content. My
way in. Yeah. I threw up on my way in, man. I weighed in 2 pounds less.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What about any, I've heard a lot of stories about like the NFL teams asking some weird questions during the combine process. You get any of those?
Yeah, they asked a lot of off the wall stuff that I didn't think they even knew about, like, you know, family history, stuff that, you know, my family done, like relatives have done in the past. And I'm like, wait a minute. So yeah, I don't want to disclose too much of that, cause yeah, it can get a little gray, but yeah, I had some fun. I sang growing up when I was 10 years old. I used to sing a lot, whatever. So they were like, yeah, I hear you're a singer. So they actually made me bust out in a song. And I was like, fuck it, I'm going to do it. If that's what you want, I will do it. So I did that. But that's probably the second most crazy thing I was asked. But I don't want to really disclose the other one, because yeah, a little too touchy, yeah, to the family.
Right, right.
What song was it?
It was a gospel song. I figured I couldn't go wrong with God, man. So I'm going to go ahead and sing that. So if they like it, they like it. If they don't, you got to deal with God on that one.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but I think it was Fred Hammond, No Weapons, that song. It was dope. I was nervous as hell, but hey, if they'd have told me to do 10 backflips, I would have did 10 backflips.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
No doubt. So, you know, once you got drafted, of course you were a second rounder, you know, once you got drafted and you went on to the Chiefs, did you have a welcome to NFL moment, whether it was during training camp, preseason, regular season, any point?
Yeah, so my welcome to the NFL was actually a good moment, really. And I can tell you the second welcome to the NFL, that was a pretty bad moment with Ray Lewis and all those other guys. But I'll get that in a minute. Okay. But yeah, so, you know, coming into camp, I'm a charismatic type of guy. So, like, I fit in anywhere I go, right, because I'm going to be me no matter what. And you know, being that charismatic guy and then still on the field, the way I worked hard, the way I approached it, if they send a linebacker up in the A-gap, yeah, I'm a rookie, but I'm still going to meet you in the hole like I've been there before, because that's who I am. So that aspect, I was cool on it. I earned their respect real early, right? And again, in training camp, you know how they have the rookies get up and, you know, maybe saying their alma mater and do this stuff. And I'm a stand-up guy, so when they call me, I'm going to go up and do it. So they got kind of bored in doing that because they knew I really liked getting up in front of a crowd and doing stuff like that. So they kind of – I got past that. So my first NFL game was against the San Diego Chargers on a Monday Night Football. So everybody back home, I'm telling everybody, watch it. The whole world's tuned in. And I'm sitting on the sideline, and Javier Arenas was our punt returner. And, you know, I think he maybe was struggling that game. I can't really remember. So I saw our head coach lean over to our special teams coach and was like, hey, I want to see McCluster return one. And when he said that, my heart went down to my feet. So I'm like, oh, my God. I haven't returned a punt all year. Well, it was the first game of the season. I haven't returned a punt all game. Just catch the ball, Dex, and I don't care if you gain a yard, just catch the ball. So I'm out there. It's raining a little bit, so I'm like, man, I'm freaking out. My gloves are wet, so I'm rubbing the inside of my thighs, trying to keep my gloves dry. Boom, the punt comes up. Once I caught it and I had room, made one miss, and, you know, that was my iconic 94-yard punt return of my first game on a Monday night football. So that was kind of my welcome to the NFL. So after that game, I called everybody. Yeah, did you see that? Yeah, I did that. Right? Yeah. So fast forward later on in the year. It was a playoff game. I made the playoffs in my rookie year. So, you know, I lucked up on that. But we were playing the Baltimore Ravens. And it was Ed Reed at first, right? So Matt Castle was the quarterback. He dropped back. I was in the flats. I wasn't open, but, you know, Matt kind of panicked and just threw it to me. And I knew I was going to get hit. So when I caught it, Ed Reed came at a B-line. And you can probably see it on YouTube. And it looks – didn't hurt. Oh, it felt worse than what it looked like. So he hit me, right? Boom. So I caught the ball, but I ran to the sideline afterwards, and my whole chest, like, I couldn't feel it. So I knew the camera was going to be on me with the, you know, after you get a big hit or you get blown up, the camera's going to be all in your grill. So I didn't want to move my mouth. So I leaned over to my coach and said, hey, coach. And he was like, what's up? I said, I can't feel my chest. And he was like, what do you mean? You want to play? I said, yeah, I still want to play. Just get me to halftime. And I wanted to move my lips. I didn't want the camera to see what I was saying, right? Get in halftime. I got shot up with some Novocaine, so I was all good to go. Like maybe four plays after halftime, I got a handoff. I'm going up the gut, and it's Ray Lewis. And the stupidness and the competitiveness in me was like, you know what? I'm going to run head on and see what I can do. I ran full speed. I dropped it. Boom. The ball went one way, and I went the other way, man. So coach called me over there, and he was just cursing me out. I'm like, man. Yeah, welcome to the NFL, Dex. I thought I had it made when I scored that 94-yarder, but it's a different ball game when you get to the playoffs, and I realized that really early. So that was my two welcome to the NFL, good and bad. Good and bad, yeah.
Right, yeah, that's cool to hear, a good and bad one for sure.
Yeah. Actually, I think I kept the picture somewhere with Ed Reed, like, and Ray Lewis, like, crushing me. So I can forever say when I get older, hey, I look who I got tackled by some Hall of Famers. Yeah, that's your uncle. That's your papa right there. I did that. Yeah, you know what I mean? So it'd be cool, man, just to have that memory to share, man.
Yeah.
So with the whole welcome to the NFL moment, most of your career was on the Chiefs. I noticed a lot of head coaching changes.
Yeah.
Your time on the Chiefs. Whole lot. So from like 2009 to 2011, there was a coach, and then 2011, there was an intern, and then
intern Romeo.
So, yep. How would you compare all those coaches and their offensive schemes, and then how was your time on the Chiefs in general?
Yeah, man, my time with the Chiefs, man, was amazing. I hated to leave. I wanted to stay, but you know, it's a business, and you know, I felt, you know, at the time I was worth more than, you know, what they wanted to bring me back for. You know, so I had to make a decision for my family, but. I mean, that's the best team I can honestly say I've played for. Organization overall that I've played for, you know, was the Kansas City Chiefs, man. As far as the fan base, as far as the coaches. But back to the coaches, man, like, you know, we had so many. We had Todd Haley. Then, you know, Romeo Crennel came in as the interim head coach. And then here comes Andy Reid. So all of them were different in their own forms. You know, Todd Haley was more laid back, chill. Romeo Crennel, he was very chill. It took a lot to get him riled up. But, you know, when Andy Reid came over, man, like, he's an offensive-minded genius, man. And he has a way to – he can have 10 to 12 star athletes on the team and find a way for everybody to eat. And it's great, man. He just – his motto was, man, hey, listen, hey, deuce, I want you to go out there and show your personality, man. I want to see some dancing. I know you got a little dance moves. And so he lets you play free, man. And if you watch those guys play, they're having fun when they're doing it. And he has a way to – not put all that pressure on you. Just go out and play football and be yourself, man. And while you're doing it, do a couple of dances for me so I can try to do them in the next meeting. So that's the type of guy he was. But all of those guys were great head coaches and all had different, you know, ways of approaching things. But Andy Reid, man, I would definitely say I enjoyed that 1 year that I had with him. He definitely put me in the right situation to, you know, show my true skill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely noticed this year with the Chiefs offense. There's just so much swag overall with Mahomes, Tyreek, Kelsey.
Yeah,
exactly. Everyone,
it was crazy.
Yeah, and when you have an organization like that, man, that just allows every moving part to do their job, from the coach to the trainer to the players to whatever, everybody has a job to do, and nobody ever steps on anybody's toes. And then when you have a coach that's going to let you just go out there and swag it out, oh, man, you're going to have fun, man. When you're having fun, man, you're winning. And when you're winning, it all comes back full circle. You're having fun. And you're getting paid, baby. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Do you think Andy Reid's offense is probably your favorite offense that you played in, or is there someone?
Andy Reid, hands down, was my favorite offense I played in because it was no limit. There was no limit to what he had. He always was thinking ahead of the game. When we thought he was right here, he was 10 steps ahead of us, you know, and what he was already thinking. So everything he does and everything that he has is a rhyme or reason for it, and he's going to make sure he incorporates not one, not two, not three, but everybody across the board, and he's going to showcase everybody's skill in one game, every game. Yeah.
Do you have a particular player that was your favorite, whether it was if you were lining up in the backfield, slot, or wherever?
Yeah, I would definitely say with the Chiefs, and then it carried on when I came to the Titans a little bit because they saw me running a lot with the Chiefs. But it was a draw play outside, right? So I'll set up like I'm blocking to the left side, left tackle. He'll bait the guy outside, like he went outside. Then he'll let him go, and I'll get the handoff, and now he's up ahead on the linebacker or cornerback, whatever it is. So I made a lot of bread off of that draw play. I forgot what the play was called, but it was definitely that draw play, man. It was dope. I forgot what it's called. I might be able to look at my archives because I still got my KC playbook, man. You know, man, still go back through and reminisce on the memories. You feel me? But I'm pretty sure it changed now. But if I can find that play, I'm gonna make sure I DM you, and I'm gonna get that exact play for you.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be awesome. I'd love to take a look at that. I'm sure you guys got that on couple third and longs where
there it is. Yeah,
Spencer basically big Brandon, expecting pass.
Yeah, big Brandon Albert, man. He was one of the best that run that play. Yeah, he was one of the best that run. He set him up so good, and now we off to the races. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Brandon Albert, BL. Yeah.
Yep. So what was it? What was your Pro Bowl experience like once you made it? It was in Hawaii that year too, right?
Hawaii, yeah, the last year in Hawaii, man. It was amazing. I got a chance to, you know, take my whole family, my mom, my dad, my wife, my mother-in-law, nephew. So everybody had a chance to experience that moment. You know, it was great, man. It was a lot of money to get everybody out there, but the good thing about the Pro Bowl was, if you win or lose, you still get a nice lump sum of money. You know, so I kind of got that back in return. And it wasn't just about the money, man. It was about just the experience overall, right, man. So It was amazing. You know, actually my father proposed to my mother in Hawaii while we were down there. So that was kind of an unexpected turn down there. So I'm happy I was able to make that moment come true. But a funny story with that, you know, me first time being in the Pro Bowl, a lot of those guys that's been there before, they knew how the practices work. It's really not a practice. It's just like a 10-play jog through. So here I am, made my first Pro Bowl. I'm lacing up before the first practice. I'm tying my cleats tight. And I forgot who it was. He came over to me and was like, "What you doing?" I was like, "I'm getting ready for practice." He said, "Man, it's not a practice, man. We just out here just goofing off, man." I said, "For real?" So long story short, I got used to that real quick. So I was hyped up, ready like to go out there and show what I got. But after I saw how it was run, I was like, "Oh, this is chill, man." So again, Hawaii was amazing. I got a chance to experience something that I never thought in a million years that, you know, I would be in Hawaii. And being able to bring my family and my wife's family, man, it was a dope experience, man. It was fun.
Did Jersey swap with anyone?
No, I didn't. I took mine home. I got it back here. I got one back here and gave one to my dad, man. Yeah, I had to bring that home with me. Yeah, so I did not.
Do you do many jersey swaps like throughout your career?
Yeah. With a lot of the guys that I know, some guys I played with in college, some guys that, you know, I just became friends with. You know, we played together on a team at some point through my NFL, but yeah, I have a few of them actually. I need to get them framed and posted up, but I'm not done with the man cave yet, so I want to make sure I get it all right before I put everybody up.
Right. Looks like it's coming along nice though.
Yeah, it's pretty dope, man. You know, I've been doing my thing, man. You know, I'm doing it by myself, man. So I mean, I come up with new ideas every day, but I'm actually probably gonna try to knock this whole wall in it. So it may change
There you go. So now kind of fast forward a couple years. Obviously, your most recent playing experience was with the Mass Pirates, and the Mass Pirates are close to where we are by Nichols. So we, you know, we're very familiar with the Mass Pirates, of course, with like Marty being there and everything. So,
yeah,
you know, what was your experience being in Worcester? Because I'm sure you haven't really been in this area that much, and
kind of never. it was my first time, I'm not gonna lie, man. That was the dopest experience, man, because it wasn't about how many people were in the stands. It just brought it back to just the love of the game, the pureness of the game, you know. So it kind of gets lost in transition when you play in the league for so long, because it's strictly business. It's a cutthroat thing. So probably maybe my sixth year in the league, I was kind of like, man, it's not feeling the same anymore. You know, I was sitting in the meeting rooms. I'm like, man, I don't want to be here. I want to go home with my family, right? So I wasn't getting that same excitement. But everything before that, it just wasn't hitting the same for me. And, you know, going up there, man, it just brought it back to the pyramids, man. All the dancing, all just the having fun, man. Just hanging out, doing whatever, right? So it was a good experience. And I think that kind of helped me, find, you know, my second career, my second path out of football early, because I became that mentor. Because when I walked in, I didn't walk in like, yeah, I'm Dexter McCluster, the NFL guy, the Pro Bowler. I walked in just like, hey, what's up, man? I'm Dex, man. Woo, woo. And they were like, a lot of guys were like, man, I can't believe I'm with you, man. I used to watch you. Even some of the coaches, right? Same thing, right? So even some of the coaches. So yeah, and, especially I can't call his name right now, but yeah, when I got in, was it Marty in there? I forgot who it was. They were watching film, and I didn't even know he was the head coach. I didn't meet anybody. And he was just like, oh, no, we got not Dexter McCluster, D, da, da, da. So I'm like, yeah, no, I don't act like that. I'm just Dex, man. It's cool. And but then as I was like, I asked somebody, I said, well, who was that? He was like, that's the head coach. I said, for real? He was like, yeah. I was like, damn. Well, yeah, he was acting like a fan. No disrespect, man. You my guy. But it was just kind of cool. But some of the guys, you know, being that mentor, like, man, you know, they're asking questions like, what did it take to get there, man? What was it like? You know, me being able to kind of give them an insight and give them some things that I've been through in my career, and it still gave, like, so some of those guys are still, you know, using that as a platform, the NAL, to actually, you know, go to the CFL, to go to the NFL, you know. So I think just seeing me there and just my presence being there, even though I didn't have the best stats there and all that, but I didn't care, because I'm up there, you know, for the love of the game, to be around the guys, to see other guys do their thing, man. So that's what I got off on down there, man, just any way I can. So I think, like I said, going back to that second career, being that mentor, you know, I was able to kind of, you know what, I'm still a motivator, man. I can get people to believe, man, like I got something special here. So that kind of helped me to finish my last chapter. And, you know, after that season was over with, I